You are listening to Homecoming to Self, The Journey, a space for alignment, for authenticity, and for living in harmony with your soul's purpose. I am your host, Sylvia Morrison, transformation coach, humanitarian, and a passionate believer in the power of coming home to self. Here we explore conversations and teachings that awaken clarity, invite courage, and deepen belonging. So let's breathe, let's align, and together, let's come home. Before we begin, let's take a breath together. Let's breathe. Let your body soften. Let your shoulders drop. Let yourself arrive. Feel your breath in your body. Welcome to Homecoming to Self, The Journey. I'm your host, Sylvia Morrison. Today, we're talking about belonging and what it means or what it costs when belonging requires us to shrink, perform, or overgive. You see, belonging is one of the reasons why many women in midlife, and I might dare say men as well, find it hard to come home to self because we are often thinking about, will I still fit in? If I change, if I start acting differently, will I still fit in? Will I belong? Will I lose relationships that I already have? Will I lose membership in this group, in this community, in this company, in this place? And sometimes it's even in our families, because coming home to self doesn't really mean coming home to a geographical place. It is a place inside us. And so shrinking, performing, or overgiving are sometimes places where we get stuck because we want to belong. Today, let's be curious. And I'll share with you my own story, my own experience about this. You see, for many years, an annual Christmas party for children had been a highlight in the community. I should back up and tell you that before I became the founder of Links Across Borders, before I moved to Ghana, it was a Christmas party that actually brought me, connected me with children in Ghana, where I started to support children's education and started visiting Ghana. And so when I finally moved to Ghana, I decided that one of the programs that I would initiate and continue to run was the annual Christmas party. You see, when I had contributed to a Christmas party many years ago, in fact, that was in 2003, I was at a very low point in my life, and I was having a conversation with a friend of mine, and she told me that she was sending money home. It was around Christmas time, and she was sending money home to her mother to host a Christmas party for children who lived in that neighborhood. And when I heard that, I decided that I would love to participate in making that party happen. And so I gave her, as contribution to the party, $75. And she sent that with whatever the amount was that she was already sending to her mom. And her mom hosted a Christmas party for children in that community. And in February of the following year, I saw pictures from the party. And it moved me. It moved me deeply. It opened my heart even wider. I thought, if $75 could do that, the joy on the faces of the kids, the dancing, the playing, the fun, them all dressed up and eating, I could feel the fun that they were having by looking at the photographs. And I wanted more of that. And so I decided that I would do that. I would continue to do that when I moved to live in Ghana. And so for many years, the Christmas party for children has been a highlight in the community. And people look forward to the food, the gifts, the celebration. And each year, the attendance would grow bigger and bigger. And so did the need for resources, needed more money to provide for more people, more guests. The planning took more time, the labor. Of course, we needed more workers to do that. And it became harder and harder to find helpers. I began to notice something that many people weren't coming anymore for connection. They were coming to receive because I was giving. So they would come, they would receive what was provided, and the day would end, the event would end, and folks would be off. They've had fun, and I enjoyed hearing thank you. I enjoyed seeing the smiles. But something had changed. Instead of ending the day feeling full, I ended feeling exhausted. And it wasn't just physical exhaustion. There was an emotional exhaustion. It felt somewhat like resentment and a certain kind of relief that this was over. I didn't like that feeling. It was very different than previous years. I began to sense that this event had run its course. I began to question. Another question that rose quietly inside me. If I stopped hosting, what would people think of me? Would I still be accepted if I stopped hosting this party? Would I still be loved? Would I still be included? I wouldn't want to lose acceptance, love, inclusion. As December approached this time, I noticed a tightness in my body. I paused, I listened, and I asked Spirit for guidance. Early one morning, I heard a whisper that startled me. It said, "This Christmas, do nothing for everyone." And I thought, "What?" That was startling to me. It felt unfamiliar and, at the same time, strangely intriguing. Do nothing for everyone. I'd not heard that before. Later that day, someone asked about my holiday plans. And I heard myself say, "This Christmas, I'm doing nothing for everyone." She paused. And then she said, looking me in the face, she said, "I'm so happy for you. I'm very happy to hear that." That took me by surprise. In the days that followed, I said it again in other conversations. Each time, the response from others was relief, as if somehow they wanted me to stop. I realized that they wanted me to rest. They did not require my giving to accept me. I had made up that story. Where in your life are you doing that? Where in your life are you feeling a nudge to change the way you're doing something? You're feeling a nudge to stop doing something, to start doing something else. But you're afraid that if you make the change, you might lose connection. You might be isolated. They might punish you. And I do know that there are times when that happens. And more often than not, we're doing it to ourselves. So I didn't host the party that year. I didn't host any events that year. And surprise, nothing fell apart. No one rejected me. Instead, what I did was I treated myself to a restful retreat. And to my surprise, the community was very happy for me. They had been noticing my overgiving. They had been noticing that I was serving too much. I realized something important. I had unconsciously believed that I needed to earn my welcome, that my service proved my value. But I realized belonging had never required my depletion. Over time, I noticed that shrinking, overgiving, over serving, which is servitude, had cost me emotionally, physically, spiritually, and relationally. And you might be wondering, what does it look like? Emotionally, you will sense resentment. Physically, I was experiencing chronic exhaustion, even loss of appetite. Spiritually, it looks like disconnection and isolation. Because instead of following the guidance of spirit and following my intuition, I am over giving and, in a sense, performing. Yes. Relationally, it feels strained. Relationships feel strained and they feel performative. Exhaustion begins to feel normal. Can you relate? I found myself asking, why am I doing this? And I'd like you to consider that question for yourself. Whatever it is in your own life, why are you doing it? Who benefits? How does it serve your growth, your expansion, your evolution on the planet? How does it serve the community that you are seeking to serve, that you feel called to serve? Here's what I want you to hear today. Belonging that requires you to shrink is not belonging. Overgiving is not generosity. I needed to learn that lesson. Overgiving is not generosity. When something no longer nourishes you, it is allowed to end. True belonging begins when you stop abandoning yourself. I learned that from experience. So the invitation this week is to notice where you overgive in order to stay included, and that you would choose one place to rest instead of overgiving. And you do that without explanation, because no explanation is required. You do not need to earn your place. Your presence is enough. I'll repeat that for you. You do not need to earn your place. Your presence is enough. And I am so grateful that you chose to be here with me. Thank you for being here. This is Homecoming to Self, the journey. In our next episode, we'll explore what it means to live from the inside out so that you feel anchored, aligned, and whole. Until next time, be gentle with yourself and keep coming home to you. This is Homecoming to Self, the journey. Thank you. Thank you for joining me in this episode of Homecoming to Self, the journey. If something you heard touched you deeply and helped you to remember a deeper truth, please share with a friend or someone else that you think could benefit from this information. I am your host, Sylvia Morrison, and I am looking forward to being with you in the next episode. In the meantime, keep moving forward. And remember, your soul already knows the way. This is Homecoming to Self, the journey.